Hello, welcome to the Peace Brain Show. This is your host, Dr. Gail Lash, and I'm happy to have you here today. Today is May 10th, 2016, and today we're going to talk about a very special dog that we had called Ariel of Bear Manor. And I'm sure many of you have had your pets, and they brought joy and amazing life to your life. Today we're going to talk about Ariel, who passed away a couple of months ago, and talk about the lessons that she taught us, that talk about her life, and talk about how we can communicate with these animals, and also how we can learn from their life and learn from their death as well. So everyone take a breath. I know this is an interesting subject. It can be a serious subject, but it can also be a celebratory subject, a really wonderful one. And as usual, I want to open with a quote today. And this comes from, I'm not quite sure where it comes from, actually. We will have to look it up. But there's a story where some parents were wondering aloud about the sad fact that our animals live shorter than human lives. They live a shorter number of years. And this parent was talking about this, and her six-year-old son, Shane, who had been listening quietly, piped up, and he said, "I know why." Well, startled, all the parents turned to him, and what came out of his mouth was really stunning. It was a comforting explanation. He said, "People are born so that they can learn how to live a good life, like loving everybody all the time and being nice, right?" And then he continued, "Well, dogs already know how to do that, so they don't have to stay as long." I think that's a great quote. And then it comes with these suggestions of how to live. So what it says here is, live simply. These are things we can learn from dogs. Live simply, love generously, care deeply, speak kindly. Remember, if a dog was the teacher, you would learn things like, when loved ones come home, always run to greet them. Never pass up an opportunity to go for a joyride. Allow the experience of fresh air and the wind in your face to be pure ecstasy. Take naps. Stretch before rising. Run, romp, and play daily. Thrive on attention and let people touch you. Avoid biting when a simple growl will do. On warm days, stop to lie on your back on the grass. On hot days, drink lots of water and lie under a shady tree. When you're happy, dance around and wag your entire body. Delight in the simple joy of a long walk. Be loyal. Never pretend to be something you're not. If what you want lies buried, dig until you find it. When someone is having a bad day, be silent, sit close by, and nuzzle them gently. Enjoy every moment of every day. Those are great life lessons from our dogs. And I know we've all experienced that with our dogs and with ourselves. So these really are great lessons to remember. And of course, in activating your peace brain, and here on the Peace Brain Show, talking about how we can develop that peace brain, that peaceful way to walk in life, our animals, and particularly our dogs, are ones that can really give us a lot of wisdom. So let's start to talk about our guest today, which is Ariel of Bear Manor. My husband and I have been breeding Coton de Tulier dogs for many, many years, and these dogs come from the island of Madagascar. They are white, fluffy dogs, and you wouldn't think that they'd come from a place like that, but they've actually been the royal dog of Madagascar for over 500 years. Excuse me. And they were brought by pirates, actually, from the island of Reunion and from the original Bichon stock. They came from Europe, and Malta, like the Maltese. So they're in the Bichon family with the Bichon Frise and the Maltese and the Lao Chen, the Havanese. The Coton de Tuléar is also one of these. So the Coton is from the island of Madagascar, but then when Madagascar became a French colony, the French settlers, the French aristocracy, took these dogs, which were only owned by royalty at the time on the island of Madagascar. You had to be a nobleman to own these dogs. They took them back to Europe and bred them in Europe. So the Coton de Tuléar became a breed in Europe. And then recently, in the 70s, came to the United States and became bred here in the United States. So we have a large population of Cotons in the United States now. And they've just recently become a member of the American Kennel Club, which is the U.S. main registry of dogs. And that's a whole other topic for another show. But Ariel of Bear Manor came from, was the great-granddaughter of Caesar, Bear Manor's Caesar of Alica Cotons. And Caesar actually was one of the first ones born here in the United States, from his mother, Jael of Billy, whose father was the champion of Madagascar back in 1975. So Caesar was her firstborn son, and really, well, she had another litter, but Caesar was one of her sons. And Caesar became my dog many years ago, and then we bred him to a female from Belgium, and had several other generations, of which Ariel then was the third generation to come down through that. Her grandmother was Caesar's daughter. So Ariel has a great registry and a great pedigree. Was a very noble dog, and we ended up naming all of our dogs from all of our litters from Shakespeare plays. So Ariel is not from The Little Mermaid. It is from Shakespeare's The Tempest. And if you remember, in The Tempest, it was about this sorcerer, this magician Prospero, who was the rightful Duke of Milan, and he decided to come. He was banished to this island, and he freed the sprite Ariel, which had been trapped in a tree by a sorceress who had been on the island before Prospero. And so Ariel became the slave or the servant of Prospero the magician. And Ariel could do all these wonderful magical things, like create the tempest, which then wrecked the ship of the current Duke of Milan, Prospero's brother, and starts the story of how they all come back into to forgiving each other and becoming one with each other. So Ariel is a very powerful spirit, and I loved that about her, because in life, this dog, this little Coton de Tuléar dog, which is around 15 pounds or so, maybe up to 18 pounds, Ariel got in her stocky stage, although she was never fat. She was just very certain about herself. She was our wise matriarch of our clan, our Coton clan here. And so that gives you a little history of what a Coton is. Coton means cotton in French, and their hair is very dry. It has no oils. It's white hair, by and large, that is very fluffy, and is very much like cotton. So these are cotton dogs, or Coton. And Ariel was just an amazing dog. So let's talk about her for a minute and talk about animal communication, because Ariel was a psychic dog. And that's what I want to get into for just a minute, because we all can speak to animals when we choose. We can talk to a bird outside or a squirrel or to our cat or our dog, even a fish. I don't know if you've ever tried it, but it's very interesting to not close your eyes necessarily, but certainly open your mind and your heart and be in that love space and just start to talk telepathically to whatever creature you choose. And we can talk about animal guides in a few minutes, but certainly to your live animals that you have, they chose you. They chose to be with you for some reason, and you chose to be with them as well. There are lessons that we get from our animals, that we learn from every being that is around us. And many times we tune them out or we don't pay attention to them. So Ariel was very attuned. And I want to invite you to actually, if you have an animal nearby, to just test this out for a moment. If you call in your cat or your dog or even your bird, and or simply, even if they're not in the room with you, get into that love space, that really appreciative gratitude space of your heart, where you can feel the love and the gratitude for having that animal in your life. That's number one, is to get into that space. And when you're in that space, call them and really invite them. It's not about commanding, but it's about inviting. It's inviting them to come join you. To come join you in your room, wherever you're sitting, obviously if you're driving, not to come necessarily to your car. But if you're in your home or your office where you might have your animal companion, just invite them to come with you. And you can even say, okay, I'm going to reward you with a pet or a scratch, and I'm going to give you some love. Not necessarily a treat, although of course you could. But practice this. See what happens. Right now, my other Khotans are in another room, so I'm not inviting them to come to me. But when I've done this, I've actually invited them up on the bed with me or to come into a room, and it happens. They do. They come. They understand your telepathic longing, your telepathic needs. And in fact, maybe some of you have an animal like this. I know one of our dogs, Ariel's daughter, Uma, and Uma is named after the goddess of the Himalayas, the goddess of light. And Uma is really sensitive to emotions. And whenever I'm feeling sad, or perhaps I get teary-eyed or I start to cry, Uma is immediately at my feet looking up at me like, okay, Mom, what do you need? I'm here. So our animals are attuned to our energy, to the energy that we put out. And that's why I said get into that love space and really know that you're putting out good energy. You're putting out that love, that gratitude, that appreciation for your animal. You're not arguing with them. You're not mad at them. You are actually wanting to communicate with them on that heart-to-heart basis. So practice that. That's really a fun thing to do, and it opens the doorways to amazing opportunities with your animal. I'm sure all of you have watched Cesar Millan on The Dog Whisperer at one time or another, and if you haven't, I highly encourage you to do that on the National Geographic cable channel. He really talks about energy and how being around our animals really involves being in that leader of the pack mode, and yet that calm, non-nervous energy. So really being in an energy of certainty and calm and respect and dignity. And you can walk your dog very easily that way. Dogs will respond when you are in that space. And that's very much what we're talking about here when you have this telepathic communication. It's really about reading your energy and being aware of your energy. Now, on this show, we've talked about grounding oneself. I'll go ahead and do that now as a meditation. And, of course, we will have our Peace Brain meditation at the end of the show. But just take a moment and ground yourself. And what I mean by that is give yourself what I call a grounding cord. It is an energetic, like, beam of light that comes out of the base of your spine, that last vertebrae, and then goes all the way down to the center of Mother Earth. It anchors into her iron crystal core of Mother Earth. Then take a breath and really allow that beam of light, or you can use maybe a visualization of a tree trunk coming out of the base of your spine, going into Mother Earth, rooting into her. I like a beam of light sometimes, sometimes a tree trunk, sometimes a waterfall. It doesn't matter what you visualize, but the fact that you're connected energetically from your body, your physical body, to the center of the planet is really important. And what that does is it brings you into present time. It brings you into an opportunity to be here now, to not be worried about what maybe happened earlier this morning or last week or what's going to happen this afternoon or next week. So you're in present time, not the past or the future. And dogs, of course, are always in present time, always. They are there at the moment. You may have done something to them a few minutes ago, but it's not like they don't remember it, but they let it go. And they're in present time again. So even if you get angry with your dog at the moment, just give it a minute and go, okay, I get it. That was me. I was working on my own stuff. I didn't mean to yell at you. You know, you were great. And you pet them and you move on. And they do too. They move on. So dogs are very much grounded. They really are grounded in the earth. And they're in that present moment. And we need to be as well. That's a great thing to learn from our animals. So take a breath and allow yourself to be grounded. You can widen your grounding cord to maybe the width of your hips so it is supporting you well. And let all of the day just pass down the grounding cord and go into Mother Earth to be recycled. Let all the energy that you don't need in this present moment, and you don't have to know what that is, but just all the past and all the future, anything that isn't this moment, let it flow down that grounding cord into the planet and really just be recycled into new energy, which is what Mother Earth does. Okay, so as we ground ourselves and bring ourselves into present moment, I want to go over kind of the life lessons that dogs teach us. And this is really important. This is why they're here. You know, if you think back at your life and maybe all the animals you've had or that the animals you've come in contact with, I know for me it's not only my private animals that I've had in my home and as my own pets, but I used to work in zoos as an animal keeper. So, oh my gosh, we used to have, all the public animals, obviously, that I took care of that were in these zoos, and they were really interesting animals, very intelligent, very aware, and actually very happy, because these were great zoos. These were really high-powered institutions who had taken the time to make the habitats be really what the animals needed, and they were in proper social groups, so they had their animal companions with them. By and large, they were breeding, and so they had offspring that they could take care of, and siblings and things like that. So really, really wonderful experiences. But those animals were amazing. And in fact, I'll digress for a moment from talking about dogs and our pets to an orangutan that I used to take care of, because I was a primate keeper at the Los Angeles Zoo for many years. And there was this one orangutan whose name was Gail, which is, of course, my name. But she was named many years before I got there as an animal keeper. And she was extremely smart. She was also devious and mischievous. So you really had to watch out for her, because there was an opportunity for the orangutans to reach through their night quarter, the bars on their cage in the night quarters in the back, not their habitat where they were out most of the time with the public. But when we brought them in at night to feed them, they were in these barred areas, and they could reach their arms all the way through the bars. And orangutans have arms that are at least 3 feet long. So we had literally a yellow line on the floor that meant that if you stepped across that yellow line, you were within reaching distance of an orangutan. And orangs are so strong. They are, I don't know, I would say at least 7 or 10 times stronger than a human. We'd have to look it up. But the point is, when they grab a hold of you, there is no letting go. So even though they're very intelligent and very smart animals, they're also very dangerous. And so a couple of instances with Gail, I had a couple of really great experiences with her. And one was that, first of all, the orangs in this exhibit had an area that was also, that was kind of a concrete area. It wasn't a grassy area. They did have some grassy areas. But there was one area that over time, the adult male, who is extremely big and strong, was picking at it and had begun to crack the concrete and actually get one of the rebars loose. So these rebars are these metal, you know, bars that they use to reinforce the concrete. And he actually pried it loose, and it was probably 4 feet long or so and about, oh, maybe 3/4 of an inch thick. And so you have the steel bar that this orangutan has in his hand, and he's out on exhibit with the public just across a moat where he could have thrown it at a visitor. So I was like, uh-oh, this is not a good thing. This is a dangerous situation, actually. And so I knew that I couldn't necessarily get the rebar from him because he wasn't going to give it up. It was his toy. It was his find, you know. It was, he had worked hard for this. So I asked Gail, I literally said to her, Gail, go get the rebar from Willie and bring it back to me in the holding area, and I'll give you a reward. And what do you know? She actually went over to Willie, wrestled the rebar out of his hand, came trotting back downstairs into the back area where I could safely, she could pass it to me through the bars, and I gave her a reward, a food reward, probably a banana or a mango or something like that, a fruit, as a reward to handing it to me. And that all happened in about 10 minutes. I mean, it was instant. These animals are so smart. They know what you want. When you come from a space of respect and dignity, and you're asking something of them, yes, but, and of course they have choice to do it, but she understood and she wanted that reward. And she went over and got that rebar. So that was an amazing time to realize, you know, orangutans are, according to the cognitive scale, probably equal to a 5-year-old human. I think they're probably much wiser than that. But you know how smart a 5-year-old human is, too. So they are extremely able to think and to reason and to work with us humans whenever they choose. Now, another time, which was very scary, actually, this will be my last story with orangutans right now, but is when Gail, actually, I was feeding them in their back area, and what we did is we did have to put the food through the bars in this kind of bowl area where they would drop it into a bowl, and the orangs would come over and eat their fruit and their vegetables. But we did have to step over that yellow line, is my point. So we had to watch the animals really carefully, and most of them were fine. They were not a problem. You could touch them right through the bars if you chose, and they wouldn't grab you. But Gail was devious, like I said. And so I was watching her, but then obviously I took my eyes off of her one time. And as I was putting food through the bars, she grabbed my hand. And she didn't just grab my hand, she grabbed my wrist. So you know when someone has a hold of your wrist, you cannot pull your hand away from their grasp. And I knew that this was not a good situation. So the only thing I could think of to do, because I was alone in the back area at the time, was to scream. And I screamed at the top of my lungs, this blood-curdling scream. And it wasn't that I was so, I mean, I was afraid, but it wasn't that I screamed out of fear. I screamed out of, I know this is the only thing I can do to get attention, and it might actually make her let go. And guess what? It did. It startled her so much that she let go of my hand, and I was able to pull my hand back and get away. So sometimes we have to allow our innate knowing and our innate judgment to take over when we're with animals, and of course for safety reasons, but also for communication reasons. That was a communication. It's like, you've got my hand and that's not okay, and I need help, and I'm going to say, let go of it. And obviously I couldn't speak English to her necessarily, like, let go of my hand. The scream was what they do to each other when they're pulling on each other too much, is they will scream. And so I'm like, okay, that's the only thing I could do. So take a breath and let all those animal stories go down your grounding cord, or anything that might have come up for you as far as fear or any experiences you might have had with your animals, and let that flow down the grounding cord to be recycled. And thank you for letting me share those stories of Gail the orangutan at the Los Angeles Zoo. So back to Ariel of Bear Manor, really an amazing dog. I mentioned to you that she was a psychic dog. Well, I do psychic readings, and I also am involved in animal communication classes. So at one point, we had a visitor, a colleague of mine, Kumari from Florida, come and teach an animal communication class here in Atlanta. And I'll never forget that she asked us to bring some animals, so I brought Ariel, because Ariel, as I said, is very attuned to people. She sits and watches things, and she's very aware of who's around, and really keeps our Khotan pack in line. So that was her job when she was alive, was to keep everyone in alignment, you know, being respectful of each other, all of the dogs with each other. She taught her granddaughter, Artemis, really well how to behave like a dog. And that means be respectful of your elders. You know, you come over, you sniff me, you roll over in your tummy so I can be dominant over you. You know, but not so much that any of the dogs were afraid of her. She just taught them life lessons. And that's what she was teaching to us, too. So I brought her to this psychic class, this animal communication class. And I'll never forget, at one point, she was in the middle of the room, of the circle of people, and there were probably 12, 15 people in the room. And we had all gone around and shared something about probably what we were feeling about her at the time, because she was one of the dogs we were reading. But I remember that one of the people didn't participate, and he didn't speak up. And the teacher was going to go around and go to the next set of lessons. And Ariel literally walked over to him, sat down in front of him, and stared up at him like, hello, you didn't contribute. You need to say what's on your mind. And everyone noticed it. Everyone went, oh, look, you didn't contribute. Oh, she realizes you need to speak. And so, of course, he then talked about what he had felt and heard and seen. And then she was fine. She went back to the middle of the room and sat down and laid down, like, okay, next. So they really are so in tune. And Ariel particularly was so in tune with life. And I want to share a little bit about sort of her last days, if you will. And I know that when we talk about how dogs are here with us and then they choose to leave, it can be very sad. But in many regards, this was an amazing and happy occasion. Now, before I go into that, let me just mention that Ariel did have two litters in her lifetime. Her first litter had five puppies in it, and Uma was one of her daughters that we ended up keeping to keep the line, the lineage going. And Uma has had a couple of litters herself. But then Ariel also had a second litter. And we didn't name Uma's litter after Shakespeare plays, just as an aside, because there were four females in the litter, and Shakespeare doesn't write plays with many women in it. So unless you want to do Macbeth and the Three Witches, it's really hard to find a Shakespeare play that has a lot of women in it. So we decided to do to name that litter after four goddesses and a god. So we decided to do that. Her second litter, though, we did name after Shakespeare play, The Comedy of Errors. And it was wonderful. She had six puppies. So Ariel was a great mom to 11 children. And then, as I said, a great grandmother, a wonderful grandmother to Artemis, her granddaughter that we ended up keeping, Uma's daughter, who is now pregnant and going to have a litter in another 2 to 3 weeks. And unfortunately, Ariel's not here now to be the great-grandmother of those puppies. But she did, as I said, teach everyone well of how to be a great dog and really raise their young and do it respectfully and learn how to live with humans. So Ariel taught us many, many things. And one thing she really did teach me is what I keep talking about, respect and dignity. She was a model of how to walk around with respect and dignity and really command it of others. She, at one time in her life, would growl at a lot of dogs and actually bark at them and want to attack them. But then as she got a little older, she said, you know, I think just a growl will do, not necessarily a bite, as we said in the beginning poem that I was reading. And so she would just kind of do a little gentle growl, and the dogs would get it. Like, okay, I get it. You need your space. You need us to back off. And everyone needs that. So back to humans, we too need our space. We too need to have our quiet time. And dogs can teach us that. They really can be a wonderful lesson. That's a wonderful lesson to learn that, hey, everyone needs their time out. So take a breath. Give yourself a moment, a pause, as a timeout. And so let's talk about the last couple of months of Ariel's life. She passed away on March 8, 2016, which just so happened to be a solar eclipse. And I want to go into that a minute, because dogs are so attuned to energy, as I said. They're attuned to the cosmic forces. They're attuned to the solar forces, to the moon phases, to the movement of the earth. They know when tsunamis are happening. They know when energy is changing in the world. And they really can be in attune with these larger events that we humans, by and large, have forgotten to pay attention to. Now, Ariel, most of her life, had a heart murmur, which is pretty unusual, actually, for Khotans. But she did, and as I said, she had a couple of litters. She did great. It really did not give her any problems until actually around the beginning of 2015, when she started coughing and needing to go on heart meds. And we took her to a cardiologist and realized that her heart had enlarged, which is what happens with the cardiac problems. And so we had to keep her on meds to keep her lungs clear and to keep the blood pumping well, and obviously keep her kidneys functioning well. And she did. She worked, responded greatly to the meds. But then in late February, she stopped eating, and her heart was very enlarged. And we ended up having to take her to the emergency room to get some meds to help her to eat better. And she responded, and to monitor her Lasix and her other meds that she was on. And that was okay. We realized, you know, the end was probably coming fairly near. I kept hoping maybe she'd have another 6 months to a year, because I'd seen other dogs be on medications for quite a long time. We do go to a holistic vet who is an osteopath and works on making sure everything's working well in the body and moving, pumping, and well, and really has performed miracles for some of our dogs in the past. So we thought Ariel had a chance to live and at least see Artie maybe have her puppies in May and celebrate her birthday, which is today, May 10th. But it didn't happen that way. What Ariel chose, which was really remarkable, is that she was up and healthy and walking around and being very active, running around chasing the other dogs outside and occasionally barking at our neighbor dogs, really up until her last week. And the last day she was here, because a week before she died, or actually on a Thursday, she died on a Tuesday. On a Thursday, her daughter decided to attack her. Uma, who is the most gentle of souls, decided to attack her mother when my husband went out the front door and then came back in. And it caused us a noise, a spark that set our gang off, and Uma bit her mother. And as we pulled them apart, we noticed that Ariel had gotten bitten in the neck and around the face. And we dressed her wounds and ended up taking her to the emergency room just to make sure everything was okay. But we ended up separating her from the group. So what happened is Ariel had to go into a separate room away from the other dogs and be tended there. And we thought, okay, we have to just get her well from her wounds and figure out how to reintroduce her back into the pack. But this was an agreement, and this is my point here. Dogs make agreements. We make agreements that we have these cosmic agreements, these energetic agreements, these spiritual agreements. And not only do dogs come into our life for a spiritual reason and to teach us lessons, but they also go out the same way. So there was something that I was really wanting to do in late March, early April. And that is, my husband and I had been invited to go to Tanzania in Africa and to work with a gentleman on building a new zoo. Now, my husband and I design zoological parks all over the world. I'm a biologist and he's a landscape architect. And as I said, I'm also an animal communicator. And I work in peace, as you know, peace brain. So I could see that this particular zoo had the potential to become a peace zoo. But if Ariel was sick and with heart problems and not eating well and certainly recovering from an attack or still not on medication where she had to be monitored closely, I was going to stay home and not go to Africa, and my husband would go alone and work with this gentleman in designing this new zoo. But what did Ariel decide to do? Well, we ended up going to my holistic vet the very morning that she decided to pass away that evening. So on March 8th, that morning, we went to the vet just to check her out because she had been eating off and on, not well, and I wanted to get some osteopathic work, get my vet's opinion whether we needed to put her down or how much more time she might have. You know, what was going on with her? And so it was kind of a long drive to my holistic vet. And on the way, I decided to stop and get a hamburger, you know, not a great thing. But I got some French fries, too. And I was feeding French fries to Ariel in the car, and she was eating them. And she was very smart in her pink harness. And as she trotted into the vet's office, just full of health, and everyone said hello and was really glad to see her because they had seen her many, many times before throughout her whole life, and her puppies and everything. And she got into the room, and she heard another dog outside in the waiting room, and she kind of growled at them, like, okay, you know, I'm here. You have to understand I'm in this room. You have to be respectful when you're in the other room. Don't disturb me. And she was examined by the vet, and the vet told me, you know, her heart hurts. It's enlarged, and it hurts. And I said, you know, my heart's been hurting lately. And it was interesting because it had been having pains in my heart the last month or so. And I realized it's because I was in tune with my dog. And my dog's heart was hurting, and so was mine. So we have these empathetic connections, energetic and empathetic connections to our animals. So pay attention that when you are actually physically ill, perhaps it's something actually going on with your animal, and vice versa. So animals pick up on our illnesses too and sometimes mimic those as well. But in this case, certainly Ariel's heart was enlarged and she was hurting, and that's what my vet said. You know, I think it's time. And I had gotten the awareness that very morning that this is why Uma attacked her, was to, first of all, take over the matriarch role of the other dogs, which were younger. Her daughter and an unrelated male that we have were younger dogs, and Uma became the matriarch. She basically pushed Ariel out of the pack, like they would do in the wild, of course. If there was a dog that was ill and coughing, it probably would be killed by their pack, or certainly be left to be killed by some other predator. So Ariel was banished, if you will, from the pack on the Thursday before, and it gave the pack a chance to start to work, how are we without our matriarch that we've had our whole lives? How can we work together as a new group with a new matriarch, which is Uma? And that really, I got that message that morning on Tuesday, March 8th, because I realized, oh, Uma loves her mother. Uma's very gentle with her mother. But Uma and Ariel decided, just like Dumbledore and Snape, you know, if you've read Harry Potter, they decided, this is what needs to happen. I need to attack you and send you away so that we can become a new group. And it's time for Ariel to go away. And so, obviously, I didn't expect Ariel. I expected to have to put down Ariel in the next few days. And we had an appointment with the cardiologist in a couple of days. And I thought, let me go check with him and see what he thinks as well. And if we need to put her down next week, that might be something we need to do. But Ariel had other plans. So we came home from the vet. I put her back in her room that she was in, safely in, away from the pack. And I'll never forget, we came back actually in the afternoon, and I played with her. And that morning, I had invited her up in bed with me, and we had snuggled. And that afternoon, she rolled over on her belly and wagged her tail and allowed me to take a video of her wagging her tail and being all excited and happy. And I fed her in the afternoon, and then she growled at the dog that came up to say hello to her, so I closed the door between them and went off to feed the other group, the pack. And as I fed them and I let them go outside and finished with them, I said, oh, I've got to go back and check on Ariel. And this was maybe 30 minutes since I had seen her. And as I came back into her room, there she was on the floor. She had had a seizure or something. She was still alive, but she was glassy-eyed, and she was breathing. And I simply picked her up, and I said, oh, Ariel, I love you so much, and thank you so much for being here. Thank you for all of your children. Thank you for being the wise matriarch. And I understand now you can go. And she did. She died on her own about 10 minutes after I picked her up in my arms. And she ended up, what was amazing, she ended up passing away the moment the solar eclipse started. So I knew there was a solar eclipse that day, but I didn't know when. I just looked at the clock and went, oh, 6:19 p.m. in Atlanta, Georgia time. And then I realized, as I looked online later that night, guess what? The solar eclipse started at 6:19 p.m. that evening. So dogs are so in tune. Ariel decided to have an agreement with her daughter that she separates from the pack, that the pack knew that they could become, that they would be okay with a new leader and without Ariel. And Ariel said, I want to go out in dignity. I want to go out in respect. I want to go out when I'm not, while I'm still walking, I'm still being able to eat on my own and potty on my own and you know, be a normal-looking dog and wag my tail and jump up on the bed and, you know, snuggle with you. She didn't get overly ill. She didn't drift away. She didn't become something that we had to care for day in and day night, like some previous dogs we've had to do. She decided to go out on her own when she was still a dog. And by doing that, it was a couple weeks before, about 3 weeks before, we had to go to Tanzania. So I knew the pack was okay. I knew everyone was good. And I knew that we could actually go to the zoo. And it ended up being so magical, so perfect, that when we went to the zoo, which was in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and Dar es Salaam means home of peace, so the owners agreed that this could become a zoological peace sanctuary and could actually be called the Amani Duniani Sanctuary, Zoological Sanctuary. And Amani Duniani means peace on earth in Swahili. So here we have the Peace on Earth Zoological Sanctuary, this really beautiful zoo that is being planned with a couple hundred of acres of wildlife, of native wildlife in Tanzania, and really a beautiful example for how people can learn about peace as they go through a zoological park. And so I dreamed and I downloaded this whole peace agenda for the visitors at the zoo. And it's really magical. It's really beautiful. I knew that Ariel said, Gail, you have to be there. You have to be there to talk about peace and the animal kingdom and how that all works together and how every zoological park needs to become a peace zoo. So that is something that my husband and I do, is peace master plans for zoological parks, and then actually only for any organization. So take a breath. Thank you for letting me share my story of Ariel and letting her be here today on her birthday, that she, of course, didn't get to see in physical form this year, but she had many birthdays during her lifetime here on Earth. And I want to do a peace brain meditation now for the last few minutes we have here on the show. So take a breath and give yourself permission to digest whatever I've said today and whatever it's brought up for you, whatever feelings have come from you and your experiences with your animals and your life. Know that they came for a reason. They came into your life for a reason and to teach you various lessons. Think about that. What lessons have you learned? And how have they come and gone in your life? So take a breath and allow your eyes to close and think of one animal in particular in your life and think of when it came into your life. How old were you? When were you going to school maybe? Was it when you were very young? Or perhaps it's been a recent animal in your life. And take a breath and bring that animal back into your mind, whether it actually be there at your feet or it's just in your memory, and say hello to that animal and thank it. Really feel that gratitude for it being in your life. And think about the times you had with that animal, what you did with it, whether you ran in a meadow or you threw balls or frisbee or went fishing with it, sat on the cliff, did hiking, just laid in bed together, read a book. Whatever it might be, really feel the warmth and the love that that animal gave you. Now think about that animal's character. What qualities did it have when it was here or is here in physical form? Was it happy or joyful? Was it shy? Was it hesitant? Was it telepathic? Was it emotionally connected to you? Think about its qualities and how you might have learned that some of those qualities from that animal. respect, dignity, happiness, joy, playfulness, spur of the moment, present moment. Were those lessons really what you needed at that time in your life? I bet they were. And now think about when that animal left. What time in your life was that? About how old were you? What were you doing? What were you needing to do? Did that animal go suddenly? Or did you have to care for it a long time? And take a breath. And know that this animal chose to go when it did. That there was some gift it gave you when it left. It obviously gave you many gifts when it was here in life. But it also gave you a gift of its passing. Think about that. What did it allow you to do once it was gone? Were there opportunities that presented itself now that that animal was actually out of your life? And take another breath and be happy. Because again, this is all a co-creation. It's an agreement between you and that animal. It's an agreement that you've had since the very beginning of when you got that animal. And so now think about an animal maybe you've had since that animal. And when did it come into your life? And how perfect was that? Maybe unexpected. Maybe it's a stray who came to your door. But there are also lessons that that animal has to teach you and why it's in your life. Know that there's always perfect timing, both in the entrance and the exit of our animals. Everything is an agreement, a spiritual agreement. And we are here to honor those agreements, to really know that these animals are here to teach us. And, of course, we are here to teach them lessons, too. We are supporting their spiritual growth and their knowingness. And take another breath. And then ask, have any of your animals returned to you? Have they been the reincarnation, perhaps, of a previous animal? And just give that some thought. There's a thought in my mind that perhaps Ariel was a reincarnation of Caesar, my very first Khotan, whose mother was the daughter of the champion of Madagascar. Caesar was very much like Ariel, and vice versa. So I think perhaps that they were one and the same, in different form, in different gender. So perhaps one of your animals has come back to you as well, or will come back to you in future. And take another breath, and be in that wonderful heart space of gratitude and love, and present moment, and just know that you have been enriched, your life has been enriched by all the animals that you have had in your awareness, not only in your home, but also outside your home, the birds and the butterflies and the skinks, the lizards, any animal that you've seen. The animals in zoological parks, they're all here to teach you lessons. They're all here to communicate with us. And we can communicate with them when we get into that loving space and we start to listen and we pay attention and we're in present moment. So take another breath and allow yourself to come back to your room and really be here in the moment and sitting in gratitude with you and your animals. Whether they're at your feet right now as we speak and paying attention to you, or whether they're just in a past memory, be thankful for all of them. And I want to thank Ariel of Bear Manor. You can find out more about our Khotans of Bear Manor at bearmanorkhotans.com, and that's BearManorKhotans.com, bearmanorkhotans.com. And you can read about Ariel and all of her children and her ancestors as well on our website. And now I invite you to please go forth and activate your peace brain and put your mark on the World Peace Trails map. Many blessings.